I know that there are a lot of people that have asked questions about legalities and what will and won't be allowed when it comes to cannabis being legal in this country. So to talk about some of the things that are most interesting from a legal perspective, Joe Hoffer, who's a partner at Cohen Hiley, has joined me here in studio to discuss that this morning. Joe, thanks a lot for being here. Good morning.
You're welcome. Good morning, Craig.
There's a lot to talk about and a lot to go over here. We've talked a little bit about it off the air. Well, let's start with the workplace portion of the conversation here. And when cannabis should and shouldn't be used and can't be used, obviously you can't smoke marijuana while you're working, but fit for duty seems to be the policy that some employers are going with. The RCMP saying you can't have smoked marijuana for 28 days leading up to a shift or whatever it happens to be. What's your thought on how employers are going to have to navigate this cannabis legalization period, this adjustment period that we're all going to be in?
Well, there aren't a lot of legal rules built around employment. And I think for most employers, the concern is risk management. So if one of their employees is involved in an accident and the question comes up, did you consume cannabis? When was the last time you consumed cannabis? If the answer is yes, and it was even, you know, in the case of the police, within 28 days, that may give rise to claims by a plaintiff that, you know, cannabis was a factor in the accident, and now the insurance companies are brought in and they're into litigation. It's great for lawyers, but not so great for employers. So a lot of employers have been enacting workplace policies that basically prohibit cannabis use in the workplace. And even there have been some arbitration awards where cannabis was given or taken by prescription the night before the employees were required to operate heavy equipment, and those arbitrations were resolved in favor of the employer.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting to note that. And we were talking about it off the air, too. The science here is a little bit unsettled. For the most part, it appears as though you should be okay if you've given yourself a few hours and you're, quote-unquote, fit for duty. But on some levels here, the science is a bit unsettled as far as whether it can impair your judgment or whatever it happens to be.
That's right. And where there's uncertainty, there's legal risk. And right. That's where the policies come into play.
Yeah, that's interesting from an employer perspective there. Let's talk about the landlord's perspective and someone who's renting property to someone. Are they is that person who's renting property allowed to grow cannabis in there if it's for plants for recreational purposes or if it's more than that for medical purposes? Legally, obviously, four is the maximum for recreational. But if you're a landlord, can you say, no, my tenants are not growing marijuana in here?
Absolutely. And most professional landlords have introduced rules to prohibit any cannabis cultivation and anti-smoking rules, complete prohibition, whether it's cigarettes or cannabis, in apartment units. And that has played out actually fairly well among most renters. And the same thing is happening in the condo context. So condo boards are passing rules and bylaws prohibiting cultivation of cannabis, whether it's for plants or even by prescription, which I've seen grow ops in apartment units of up to 49 plants. So those things obviously are a real concern, not just for the landlords, but for other residents in the building. And so these rules have been put into play. It's all done as a matter of contract, either under the lease or by statute under the Condominium Act.
And it's not just a smell thing or a mold thing to worry about, but there's also some safety issues if you have the plants being grown with lights and things along those lines, hydro hookups. There's definitely some safety risks in there as well.
There are when you get into the components that are installed to really sort of manage production of cannabis. Mm. But you know, I think the vast majority of people who are growing one to four plants, nobody's really going to care.
Right.
In my experience, plants will probably die or they won't be very, very fertile or very potent. And so that's when people start to buy the fertilizers, the pesticides, start to erect the tents. And the grow ops that I've seen, which are, you know, they're of some size, and there are a number of appliances hooked up to them to generate humidity, to generate light. The tents have been set up right in the middle of the, in one case, both in the living room floor and in the bedroom floor. And all of the parquet flooring was lifted up. It was a real mess inside the unit. And in one of the grow ops, they had hooked the ventilation system up to the building's ventilation system. There was mold all around that. It's basically not good to have those things in apartment or multi-residential settings.
You mentioned multi-residential settings. What about a condo that you own? Is that a different conversation? Does it depend on the condo board? How does that work?
No, it depends on the condo board. So if you own the unit, the board and really the corporation still has the power to enact bylaws and rules to absolutely prohibit cultivation in those units and cultivation, obviously, outdoors.
Okay. And yeah, outdoors obviously is part of it as well. There's a few more things I want to talk about with you, Joe, but we're going to take a quick break and then talk about those on the other side, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
All right, let's do that. So Joe Hoffer, partner at Cohen Hiley, is in talking about different legal things that might come up from a marijuana and cannabis perspective with us. If you have any questions, you can email me, Craig, at 980cfpl.ca. We'll talk about that coming up. You're listening to Global News Radio. This is 980CFPL. We return to the Craig Needle Show. Joe Hoffer, who's a partner at Cohen Hiley, is in studio with us talking about cannabis legalization. That is today. It is happening. It is real. The question is, what portion of the legislation do you think people need to know about? And we were just talking off the air about the legislation, how there are some inconsistencies here. So it's going to be an adjustment period for Canadians, but it's going to be an adjustment period for government as well, because it feels as though there are some loose ends that should be tied up here.
Yes.
Yeah. So what? Give me some examples here as far as there's the growing aspect and the difference between medical and recreational. What are some examples as far as what the differences are here?
Well, one of the most stark examples of inconsistency is under the federal legislation. If you have a prescription for medical cannabis and a registration certificate, there's a prohibition on growing or cultivating cannabis outdoors anywhere near a playground, a school, anywhere where younger people are likely to be present. That's a complete prohibition. With recreational cannabis, you can grow up to 4 plants anywhere outside. So that's just one example where the right hand of government is acting inconsistently with the left hand. And there's many more gaps in legislation between the federal government, the provincial government, and municipal agencies. And a lot of those gaps, fortunately for lawyers, are being filled in by lawyers and through private agreements between, the example we used earlier was landlords and tenants or condo boards.
Do you think the government should have left themselves some more run-up time? Or are these things they should have been able to see coming? Because it's been a few months that we've known that October 17th was the date. Should they have been a little more proactive here, do you think?
I think there should have been some broader legislative work done. The focus seems to have been for governments on how to make money. So we've got the retail cannabis store, the taxation protocols are in place, but the basic health and safety issues really haven't been addressed by government.
Right. Well, I suppose it's going to have to be a wait and see thing. Like I said, it's going to be an adjustment period. And really, I guess there's no other way to see how it shakes down than just watching how it shakes down and watching out what the case law winds up saying, right?
Absolutely. Those gaps will be filled in eventually. And, I don't think there's some earth-shattering change that's going to occur today. We'll see lots of people celebrating. Certainly the legal profession will be celebrating.
It's a win for everybody, I guess. Yeah. Or at the very least, it's a win for the folks of the legal profession. We'll have to leave it there. Joe, thanks so much for making the trip down and coming and talking to us. Appreciate it.
Okay, Craig, you're welcome. Thank you.
That's Joe Hoffer, who's a partner at Cohen Hiley. We're taking a break here. We're going to look at some polling data about marijuana and cannabis legalization on the other side of the break. How do Canadians feel about this? We're going to be chatting with some folks with Ipsos just ahead. So stick around. It's Global News Radio, 980 CFPL.